catches places that he don't wanna go. Looks for love and for hope.
Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love.
Love that comforts from heaven.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years now. We can't thank you enough. We'll thank you even more, if you'll come out and support our upcoming golf outing. That's going to take place on Monday, October the 14th. We're headed back to Tallamore Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania, for a great day of food and golf and prizes and all kinds of fellowship. You can learn more about the outing on our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, there's a link there where you can download a flyer that has the information on how to register for golf, how to register to just come for dinner, and then, of course, all the sponsorship opportunities that are available. And, they know times are tough for a lot of people. There's certain segments of politicians that don't want to tell us that or tell us otherwise. But I know that it's getting harder and harder to take care of regular stuff. So whatever you can do to support us here is always greatly appreciated and allows me to be here on Wednesdays to bring you the hopefully great shows like today's. And in this hour, because it's the last Wednesday of the month, that means it's Divine Will Wednesday, and I'm joined by my friend Peter DePalma. And today, Peter has brought with him all the way from Italy, Sister Francesca. Sister Peter, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
Hi, Ken. Hi, everyone.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, brother.
It's always great to be back.
And, yeah.
Well, you're busy Wednesday. We hope that we can take this hour and spread the Divine Will.
Yeah. And we've been doing this, almost 2 years now. And I think it's 2 years this month, as a matter of fact. And tomorrow we're going to celebrate a saint, kind of unrelated to the gift of divine will, St. Alphonsus Liguori. And working with a bunch of folks in recovery. And last week we started reading together a book. It's based on Alphonsus Liguori's uniformity with God's will. And I know once in a while we talk about how, you know, before Louisa, that we're not sure, you know, who may have been living in the divine will and who wasn't. Of course, the Blessed Mother was probably was right there. But the more I'm reading Alphonsus Liguori's writing, if he wasn't in the divine will, he was pretty close. Especially with the writing he did about how we should have our will should be uniform with God's will, and a distinction between conformity with God's will, which is, you know, you got two wills that are trying to do the same thing, versus the uniformity with God's will, which is basically giving up our will to live the divine will. And, you know, when we try to do that, when we make that effort, it's a game changer, as I've come to learn over these past few years.
Well, I think that's the biggest delineation, Ken. You know, doing the will of God has been done, for a very long time. Now, talking about the gift of the divine will, yeah, I think God gave, Father Nuzzi also thinks that God gave certain components of it to many, so that, you know, sort of like keeping the bread trail going through the forest. And now that we are introduced to divine will, it's really interesting because now we see everything through a different lens. We see everything, we see divine will in everything. Like, for example, today is the feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Mm. And if you just look at some of his quotes, I mean, first quote, God gives each one of us sufficient grace ever to know his holy will and to do it fully. That's one. I could read one later on. But doing the will of God, and now God has given us this miraculous gift. He says, okay, I want you to start to do my will, but then I'm also going to give you the possibility and the probability of actually possessing it, to actually live in me, fused, you know, sort of that the spiritual marriage that some of the mystics and saints spoke about in the past. But now the divine will is explicating, is sort of not adding to or deleting, but allowing us to better understand all that has already been given. Because everything that's been given is suffice for salvation. Now we're getting an opportunity to know it better, and we're getting that in tremendous gift, which is he's allowing us to live heaven on earth. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father, the prayer that we've been praying for 2,000 years, that for the most part I've just, you know, gone through without giving much thought to. But this is the fulfillment. That's what Jesus says, and we believe it because, again, these writings have been approved by the church. Don't let anyone kid you about that. The typical edition has already been issued by the Vatican, and if there were any errors at all, it would have been diagnosed then. Also, the scrutiny of St. Hannibal de Francia, who was the spiritual director to Louisa, it was canonized, is canonized, and a great part of his life was spent with Louisa. So again, if there was any issues, all of these things would not come to fruition. But we know that all good is going to come under attack, so just buckle your seatbelts and just stay in the lane, and everything will be fine. Would you agree, sister?
Oh, definitely, definitely. If we didn't have persecution, we wouldn't have a way to defend, to prove our love and to prove our fidelity, right?
That's right. It's opportunity.
Yeah. And yeah. You know,
I just want to throw out there, if anybody still has any questions about the approval of the writings, our last newsletter that we put out in March, we talked about all that, and we even posted a PDF file of that mother and a couple of sisters put together, is the divine will approved? And it's just filled with evidence and facts and different quotes from different people explaining why it's okay to read. So if anybody wants to go to our website, it's benedictinesofdivinewill.org. Just click on the newsletters page and you can read what we wrote about and then also read that document. It's from March 2024. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, and a lot of that's come up
great.
Recently.
You know, Ken, because apologetics is so important to our faith and especially to the divine will. This is the end-all purpose of God, everything he's done for the last 2,000 years. We expect it not to go smoothly. Yeah. Everything in the world that's not going well or is bad, if you really look at it directly, it's an attack against God. It's played out through us, the marriage, the family, the gender, everything. Everything they try to prove that God is not a good God, that God doesn't know what he's doing, God's a confused God. No, he's not. No, he's not. So all the attacks are not, we shouldn't take it personal. This is a diabolical disorientation that Our Lady spoke about at Fatima. We're living it. Yeah. And that's a beautiful opportunity also to shine. I think it's easier now, and again, I'm not including myself in this, but I think it's easier now to become a saint than it ever was because, again, it's like swimming upstream like the salmon. The current is it's a tsunami in the wrong direction. So it doesn't take much to take a few strokes upstream.
Yeah. And of course, with the example that we have, you know, 2,000 years of saints, and especially now in the 20th and 21st century with the revelation of the gift of the divine will, there's no excuse not to become a saint these days. And, you know, as a result, because we've been given more and more is going to be expected. But like you said, Peter, we spend so much time and effort, you know, fighting the idea of being a saint, that if we put you know, even half the effort into becoming saints, I think we'd be able to achieve remarkable things. And I think part of what Peter and sister are talking about is, you know, the writings of Louisa were attacked again in the last couple of weeks. Even had a number of people that, because they know about this show, they got in touch with me, and you know, what's this coming from? You know, a bishop here in the United States, and thinking about the show today, I was like, the demons have woken up and they're starting to attack this thing, and I think it's backfiring because I think it just makes more people wonder what it is that this bishop or that bishop are coming out against, and so instead of it being squashed, I think more and more people are finding out about it. I know the little the cynical that I joined a couple of years ago was, I think there was less than 20 of us, and now there's close to 50, and it's nationwide. We've got, we meet at 6 o'clock in the morning Eastern time here in the States. We've got people getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning in California and 4 o'clock in the morning in the Midwest. to join us in reading the 36 volumes. So it's definitely on the move, and I think old Red Legs has woken up to the fact that he's got to get moving, but unfortunately we know who's going to prevail here.
He is. And, you know, Sister and Ken, Jesus talks about this too, that the two words that you think would work against the divine will, which is doubt, and the second is opposition. Jesus speaks about that. He says in the opposition, he says the divine will has two effects. For those who are disposed, those who really desire this gift, it's going to be light and life. But for those who do not desire it, they're going to be blinded. They're not going to understand anything. So, again, we don't fault our brother and sister for not understanding it. Again, that true desire to want to know it is not there. And doubt, our blessed Lord tells us, and again, he played it out through Doubting Thomas, was that doubt is great because when you doubt, you go back to the source. And either you reverse your doubt, you confirm what you know. I mean, there's going to be a greater good there. So doubt actually makes us work harder to understand what we don't understand or what we do understand. So both of those, Jesus is not worried about, and we shouldn't be concerned about it either. If Jesus is nervous, I'm not nervous.
Mm-hmm. Amen, Peter. Actually, I just came across a quote that Jesus tells Louisa in Volume 2. That's exactly what you're saying. He said, "I allow these oppositions, even from religious people, so that the truth may shine more in its own time. All I want from you is an upright and simple operating. Do not bother about the pros and the cons of creatures. Let them think what they want without being the least troubled, since wanting that all be favorable is wanting to deviate from the imitation of my own life." So mm-hmm. God's will is going to be done. It can't be stopped. Persecutions can't stop it. We have to trust in his power. We have to trust in his providence and his ability to bring out a greater good from everything. But especially that last line struck me, since wanting that all be favorable is wanting to deviate from the imitation of my own life. You know, Jesus suffered persecution. Jesus suffered incredible torture and even death. You know, what are we willing to suffer for the Lord and for the sake of the divine will?
So true. He actually says in one of the volumes too, he says, you know, don't be concerned if they dislike you. They hated me and they dislike you because of me. So again, Jesus sort of taking everything on his own shoulders. And I put that in the same category as Louisa too, but in a different twist. Louisa, every time she had correspondence with Jesus and every time she was given something by Jesus, she always said, "What about the others? What about the other souls? What about them?" I mean, she had that upright intention, which allowed the light of the divine will to come through. See, God's grace never stopped. It's always been thrown our way, so to speak. But we've put up shields, barricades, roadblocks, all kinds of things to stop it. Sometimes intentionally, most times unintentionally. Now God says, "I'm going to take those shields down. I'm going to gently lower the barriers, and you're going to get the full breadth of this." And that's why he says, there's only one consistency here. There's only one requirement, really, that's to be in the state of grace. So it drives us back into the Catholic Church, back into the sacrament of reconciliation. As long as we're in the state of grace, it doesn't matter our education level or our poverty level. It doesn't matter what we've done in the past, nothing. Be in the state of grace, and God says you're open to receive it. And again, he's got a certain number. Again, this is not millennialism, but he has a certain number that he's going to start with. He's always done that. He had Adam and Eve at 2. He started with Louisa with 1. He says this will first come through the priest, which it has, St. Hannibal de Francia. And he says, and then a few souls. He doesn't just say another few priests. Of course, there'll be many priests, but a few souls, that's everyone. See, it's the reestablishment of what Vatican II did also, the re-enlightenment of the common priesthood, which Adam and Eve possessed, and what we are going to possess soon, hopefully.
Very good.
It almost sounds too good to be true, right?
I think that's where people get hung up. It's a little too easy.
It can't be too
good to be true.
Yeah.
We like to do things based on all of our own efforts, and we like to take credit for things, and we like to be proud of ourselves. But I feel like as you journey more and more in the divine will, you realize you're capable of nothing. Everything good that has happened to you has been his grace. And even just the grace of the cross. Even when crosses and sufferings come into our life, we just see how, you know, there's nothing that we can do to screw things up, even when those crosses come to our fault. You know, the Lord just uses it to create something beautiful and to bring us even closer to him. So it's really just all him. All we have to do is remain open like Our Lady and be ready to receive and correspond with the gift of our own love.
Yeah. That's so true. And, you know, and the enlightenment and the understanding of his permissible will to me is still astonishing, where if you just, you know, just take a quick litmus test, just go to one of the worst or the worst situations or times in any of our lives, whether it be a near-death experience, whether it be a catastrophe that we have here or there, and then just be intellectually honest and say, okay, if God's mysterious permissible will did not allow that event to happen, would we be here today? And the answer is unequivocally no. It's sort of like being, you know, our life as a Catholic and actually life as a human is like being on a bumper car. I mean, don't fear the wall, because the wall is going to send you off in a better direction than just bumping into each other left and right. So, yeah, it's a blessing. And again, I think that helps us, to your point, sister, to appreciate the cross, to love the cross. How could you love the cross? How could you love suffering? Well, we don't love suffering in of itself. We love suffering if we're offering that suffering to our blessed Lord to help compensate, to mitigate what he went through. And then, again, then it's... It, there's more value. He says, what did he say? He says, I placed more, not sanctity. I put more grace in the cross than I did in the sacraments. So he wants us to embrace that suffering. Not look for it necessarily, but when it comes, again, God's permissible will is going to, again, bounce us off the wall and put us in the direction that we should be, because we don't know where we're going. I mean, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I've been. But I just know that every morning I wake up, there's sort of an instruction here, instruction there. And then Ken gives us his wonderful opportunity to come live at 5 o'clock. And this is beautiful. So all good. It really is all good. And we just have to be thankful. Gratitude. What about that, sister? The word gratitude, Ken.
Amen.
He didn't have gratitude in his humanity.
And everything.
And we can make up for that now.
Yeah. No, and everything should start with gratitude. And, you know, Peter,
can you come in real low? I can't. What, can you hear Ken, sister?
No, it's very low.
Sorry, but is that better?
Yeah, a little better.
Mm-hmm. So,
or maybe we're shouting.
No,
that could be it too.
No, but I think, yeah. No, but you know, my background with being in recovery and working with a lot of folks that are in recovery from addiction, and the huge role that gratitude plays in that. And, you know, some people, especially when they're in the throes of serious situations going on, or they've not had to handle a whole lot of crosses and a cross is heaped on them, and they can find it very difficult to be grateful. I remember when I would first start going to 12-step meetings and I would hear people say that they were grateful recovering alcoholics, and wondering how in the world could anybody possibly be grateful to have this disease, only to realize not too long in the after that it was only because of that disease that I have the relationship that I have with God today, and continue to grow in that, and the evolution that has taken over the last 30 years, which has eventually pointed me to the divine will, and how each of the people that God has put in my life over the years has led directly to this moment in time, to this hour where the three of us are on the radio together, talking about this gift of the divine will. And so I think it's really important for us to take time once in a while to look back and look at that path. And, you know, and how did I get here? And you can't help but to see how God has orchestrated all of it. You know, a lot of times we don't see it in the moment or even in the day or the week leading up to it. But if we look back over the years, it's pretty cool to see how God has put all this together, at least in my life.
How about the miracle of just being here? You talk about God's will. I mean, everything in the past hundreds of years, whatever it is, everything had to work exactly the way it did to God's plan for us even to be here. And I joke around, you know, what about our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother? What if she had cold feet? What if she didn't feel well? What if she was scared to meet our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, and she didn't show up that day? If they never met, we wouldn't be here. Everything had to work exactly the way it did. So I think if everyone understood this, Ken, I think recovery would be easier. I think there'd be no euthanasia, there'd be no suicide, there'd be no abortion, because we would value life. It's a treasure. It's a miracle that we're here. And God's given us all an office to do. Now, again, some may be clashing cymbals, some may be on radio. Doesn't matter what we do. All offices are equally important. And we said, just take whatever God gives us and just do the best we can. We're all in this together. We really are. We all sink. We all swim. This is, I think, the divine will is the epitome of the communion of saints.
Yeah. And actually, as you guys were speaking, I was thinking about the saint of the day, St. Ignatius Loyola, because, you know, to be really grateful, your eyes have to be open. You have to pay attention to these movements of grace that are happening to us, not even just every day, but every moment of every day. And so what makes it so difficult? I think because there's an enemy of our souls that's constantly at work trying to imitate God's voice, trying to discourage us, trying to put us down, and trying to distract us from God's grace. So I was just thinking, like, a good little practical practice to do is the examine prayer every night. It's been a huge help to me. Just for you, you know, with the Holy Spirit, reflect on your day and just allow Him to show you all the different ways grace was at work. You know, grateful for the obvious things like a beautiful sunrise that you saw in the morning, but also maybe a moment of grace where you were you received the strength to be patient in a situation where you're not normally patient, or somebody gave you a compliment that really just kind of warmed your heart and pulled you out of a difficult day. They seem like little things, but it makes a difference, because I think the more we realize how much God's providence is around us, how much He loves us, how much He's looking after us, it just makes everything a little bit easier. In fact, it makes everything a lot easier.
That's true. You know, actually, you reminded me, we have an Ignatius of Loyola, examination of conscience on our website at queenofdivineworld.org. It's very simple. It's like six points, but they're all-encompassing points that if we just reflect, God will help us remember what we need to remember at the time.
Yeah. The previous hour on Wednesdays, we have a show, Saints and Sinners, I do with my friend Father McKay, and we talk about the saints in the liturgical calendar. And today we were talking about Ignatius of Loyola, and the role he plays in the recovery world. A lot of folks, if they've been in recovery for a while, they'll hear about a priest, a Jesuit priest, Father Ed Dowling, who would eventually become one of the founders of AA, would become his spiritual director, and that happened because the Jesuit priest read the book Alcoholics Anonymous and realized that it was almost identical to the spiritual exercises of Ignatius. And the key being that examine prayer in the 12-step program. It's in the 10th step where on a daily basis we're told to continue to take a personal inventory. And in the 12-step program, it's more generalized, but we as Catholics, if you come to learn about the examine prayer, and Ignatius thought it was so important that out of all the tasks that the Jesuits are required to perform each day, you know, praying the rosary, offering or attending mass, etc., if they were too busy to get everything in, he would not let them off the hook when it came to that examine prayer. That's how critical he thought it was to the spiritual life. And even more recently, listening to another priest, Father Ripperger, to include Our Lady of Sorrows in that. If you want to find out what virtue you need to work on things that you may not be seeing, to also include Our Lady of Sorrows in there, and that she'll make us aware. But it's all these little tools. So you have, you know, Ignatius of Loyola at one point, you have Our Lady of Sorrows, and that devotion comes around at another point. All these things over the last 2,000 years of our Catholic faith, and in all culminating and all being found within this gift of the divine will that we talk about.
I mean, he states, I don't have it in front of me right now, he states that everything that he has given, he, God, including the church, the sacraments, everything has had as his primary purpose to bring us back to that order, that place, and that purpose which we were created by God. You know, Sister Francesca, a few years ago, I think, well, I'll say she coined a phrase, the divine will being the reciprocal of love, and I remember that very well. Again, this is another quote. See how these seeds are all planted. St. Ignatius of Loyola, this is what he said. Take, O Lord, and receive my entire liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my whole will, all that I am and all that I possess, you have given me. I surrender it all to you to be disposed of according to your will. Give me only your love and your grace. With these, I will be rich enough, and I will desire nothing more. End quote. it's all divine will. Mm-hmm. But before we put on the divine will goggles, I couldn't see it. I would read it. It was very nice. I love the prayer. I didn't see divine will.
Amen.
It's true. Everything is illuminated with the divine will now. And I think it's good for people, too, to know that sometimes the Lord leads you to start reading. Even after you've started to read the volumes, he may lead you to read some other saints to help you understand some of the things in the volumes, because they go hand in hand. I remember in the very beginning, I was having a little bit difficult time with volume one and understanding what was going on. And out of the blue, the Lord led me to read John of the Cross and Dark Night of the Soul. Right now I'm reading, I'm very much into the theology of the body, the teachings of John Paul II, which came out right around the time where the divine will was coming out.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's helped me to see and read the volumes in a whole new light. It's like the two go hand in hand. So don't be afraid when the Lord leads you to something else. You don't have to worry about, oh, well, it's not divine will. It's all divine will. And the Lord has prepared the church for 2,000 years for these writings. He didn't have to repeat everything in the writing. So if there's maybe something that we personally need to kind of brush up on, he's going to lead us to that. Also, the bishops have encouraged everyone to really read the writing in the light of church teaching and sacred scripture. And there's so many wonderful resources out there now. There's Father Mike Schmidt's Bible in a Year, Catechism in a Year. There are podcasts that they have every day. You can read the whole Bible or the whole Catechism in a Year. Father Mike reads it to you and then gives a great little practical, you know, down-to-earth little reflection on it. They're like 20 minutes each. But these are great ways to really help you understand on a deeper level what you're reading in the writings.
Yeah, our toolbox is full. We just don't go to it often enough to
fix
what he's fixing. Ken, before we go into the break, I'd like to slide in one more quote of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And he says this quote, "He who is devout to the Virgin Mother will certainly never be lost." End quote.
Amen.
I love that one.
Yeah, yeah. And the saint that we'll celebrate tomorrow, St. Alphonsus Liguori, who wrote The Glories of Mary, really a compilation of the writings of various saints up until his time, all about the Blessed Mother, and of course Louisa herself, and in her writings on the Blessed Mother and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. Beautiful stuff. But you're right, Peter. We've reached the bottom of the hour. We are going to take a short break. Again, our guest today, Peter DePalma, who's with us every month, and Sister Francesca, a Benedictine Sister of the Divine Will, all the way from Italy. We're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now, your host Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Just a reminder that we do have a golf outing coming up in a couple of months, October the 14th. That's a Monday. We'll be at a Tallamore Country Club in Ambler. All the information is now available on our website at inhissign.com. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and you'll see a link there with a flyer with all the information, how to register for golf and or dinner, as well as the sponsorship opportunities. But again, we can't thank you enough for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Our guests today are Peter DePalma and Sister Francesca. This is the last Wednesday of the month, so of course that means it's Divine Will Wednesday, and where we talk about Louisa Picaretta and the gift of the divine will. And today we've also included Ignatius of Loyola, whose feast day we celebrate, Alphonsus Liguori, who we'll celebrate tomorrow, and all that we can do in order to generate interest and really encourage you to look into this gift. I found out about it a couple of years ago when I tried to give a copy of Daniel O'Connor's book to a friend of mine. And as soon as she saw the cover, she said, "Oh, you must be learning about the divine will, and you got to get in touch with Maureen Lamadi." And it took me a couple of months. I got a hold of Maureen right away, but it took me a couple of months to buy into the idea of waking up at 5:30 every morning in order to read the volumes with a group of people. But I've done it, and it's probably one of the best things I could have done. And I just encourage people to investigate, take a look. Just from my own experience, Peter, and maybe Sister, you can help with this. When I first started looking at Peter's website and the volume of information that is out there, it's overwhelming, especially when you first realize that, this is 36 volumes, that there's some 10,000 pages, I think, between the volumes and some of Louise's other writings. It's like, I'm not going to get through this in a lifetime, let alone in the next month or two. And especially Americans, I think we're looking for the shortcut. I found myself for years trying to find that one chapter in one book that was going to have the answer to all my questions and was going to make me a saint. And I collected quite a number of books. Most of them I never opened. And I think I now have it in the Book of Heaven, but I think it's something we need to realize where it's not going to be something that we're going to get overnight, that it's going to be a process and just to take little chunks at a time.
Yeah, but it could be overnight. Ken. We can't rule it out. I mean, look what God did with St. Paul and St. Mary Magdalene. I mean, their lives were changed. They never went back to their old ways. That's the beautiful thing about the divine will. God, it's a gift. Nothing we've done that earns God giving us this gift. So that's what's so beautiful. Number one, we haven't done anything, so let's knock our ego down. Secondly, God's going to feed us based on or commensurate to our desire. And he says in volume 36, which is the last volume, he says, desiring this gift is taking the first step. And he also says, my love makes me adapt to human capabilities so that the creature can do with no difficulty what I teach and what I want, end quote. So we don't have to worry about, are we going to get it? If we want it, see, this is where we have that trust and faith in God. God, allow me to understand this. And he's going to do it. Look, he takes simple souls. That's his MO. He takes simple souls. Father Gooby, Sister Faustina. I mean, they're all, Louisa Picaretta, the first grade education. He doesn't go to very learned individuals. He wants to prove his might through these beautiful souls. Again, he's chosen us. He's got a wonderful sense of humor as well, right, Sister?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I'm here talking to you guys. I hope you can show God has a sense of humor. As you were talking, Ken, I couldn't help but laughing. I'm like, oh, he does that too. That's great. Always looking for that one thing. Okay, maybe now I won't struggle anymore. Maybe now I'll finally get it. But it's true what you were saying. We live in a culture that wants the Cliff Notes version of everything. You know, we want the YouTube short teaching us how to arrive at the highest sanctity that there is. And in a way, there's really no shortcut. I've been meditating on this a lot lately. Like, why do I want to become a saint? You know, like, why do I desire sanctity so much? And I think if, I'm honest with myself, maybe others out there, like, there's a part that just wants to stop struggling. You know, you don't want to have to keep growing and journeying, and you kind of, you want others to think well of you and you want to arrive at a certain level of holiness. And I feel like the divine will just kind of turns that all upside down, because it's not about that at all. It's about becoming littler. And it's really just about arriving at, I like to think of it as the deepest union with God that we were created for. And then we don't have to worry about arriving at the destination, you know, yesterday. Right. We just enjoy the journey, because every day, every moment, brings us closer and closer to the Lord. So just kind of keeping that in sight, and then we're not so much focused on the destination, because God doesn't wait for us to arrive at perfection in order to love us and transform us. He's with us at every moment, and he loves us where we are, and he loves our littleness. And I was just listening to a homily today. He's attracted to our misery, so we have nothing to fear. It's God's there waiting for us, and we just have to run into his arms.
That's true. Yeah. He's amused by our wretchedness, not our deliberate sinfulness, but our inability to do anything well. But another thing that we can talk about also is that, you know, there's no see, the gift of divine will, if God has made these volumes available, he's expecting us to read them. But we have to realize, too, that it's not that, okay, once we finish reading the 36 volumes, that's it, or that's when we're going to receive the gift. No. I mean, St. Hannibal of Francia lived in the divine will, and he passed away after volume 19 was written, so he never saw a volume or read volumes 20 to 36. It doesn't matter how much you read. It's really how much you want it. I mean, of course, your desire is going to be commensurate. You're going to want to read. I mean, that's all going to be cyclical. But this is not a formula. We can't say Gnosticism, okay, as long as you have these volumes, that's when you can get the gift. If you don't have these volumes, you can't get the gift. No, that's not true. That is the heresy of Gnosticism. So God is going to give us this gift on different levels. He's going to take us up the stairs. And again, where Luis is, we don't know when we're going to get there or if we're going to get there, we hope. But we want to make sure that we're taking this journey seriously and having a good time, because Jesus likes to have fun. He tells us that through Luis's parody of back and forth. And he also says that, you know, just trust me. If you want this gift, I guarantee I'll give it to you. So there's really no pressure. We do the best we can. It's the divine will that's fueling everything in our life and in our church. So everything we participate in, we're getting some divine will.
Yeah, and I think the word that Sister mentioned a couple of times was the present moment. And, you know, we spend so much time thinking about, you know, what we did in the past or worried about what's going to happen in the future that we miss what's going on in the present moment. And that's the only time that God has, right? Because you know, one of the things you learn.
And we have.
Yeah, and you learn, you learn that in reading the volumes, and you know, it became real obvious to me in short order that, you know, with God there is no time, and that, you know, the idea that we can repair and redo and do the acts and pray the rounds and realize that, you know, with God that there is no time, that everything is in the present. And When I stay in the present, when I, you know, we're having this radio show right now and I focus solely on the conversation that the three of us are having and living in the moment, there's no worry about what I did in the past. There's no worry about what I'm going to do as soon as the show's over. I just stay right here in this moment. And that's where God is. God, you know, he was part of my past, and he'll definitely be part of my future, but he's not there yet. He's only right here in this moment. And I think when I was finally able to wrap my mind around that, it made life so much easier. And so constantly looking for him in the moment and what does he want me to do in this moment was a game changer for me.
It is. Just remember the phrase, today is crucified between two thieves, yeah. Yesterday and tomorrow.
Amen.
And that's so true, Ken, what you said. Yeah. I mean, I lived that when I was working on Wall Street. I was, you know, what can I do now? I never enjoyed today because I was always so busy preparing for tomorrow. We're going to run out of tomorrows. And God wants us. He has our attention right now. So that's why again, we say this not to minimize it, but God makes our life easy through and with the gift of living the divine will. It's what Adam and Eve possessed. It's like what you said, Ken, when you enjoy this, savor this moment, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like live every day like it's your last day, and then there'll never be a bad day. and everything will be good. You'll appreciate everything. And that's how you give glory and honor to God and the love of God to God. And that's how you can make the rounds with everything. I mean, how many times have I gone out and not noticed the sun or the trees mm-hmm. or the breeze? And now I cannot but help but to recognize that and say, thank you, God. Again, making up for all those who did not want to, do not know they have to, or should give glory to God.
Yeah. Father McKay. Sure. I'm sorry. I just want to throw this in there. No, but my friend Father McKay, there was the local tap room we would frequent in South Philadelphia, and it had a sign in there, free beer tomorrow. And so he'd show up the next day and, you know, with the free beer, and he's like, no, it's tomorrow. And so, you know, tomorrow never gets here, right? So great sign to bring people back. You're only going to fool them once or twice, I think. But, yeah, we got to live in the moment. Sister, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay. Yeah, I was just thinking, like, how by worrying about the past or worrying about the future, it really does, you know, distract us from the beauty of the present moment. And it's really, I think, all these pressures we put on ourselves. You know, we worry about the past, you know, if there's something wrong that we've done in it or something that somebody else has done to us. It's like we want to put ourselves in the position of Christ, that we have to redeem ourselves from whatever went wrong in the past. And then the future, it's that self-reliance that, you know, the Lord's trying to purify us all of, that, you know, the future's in his hands and he's going to let us know when we need to know what we need to know. But if we live in the present moment, it's living a life without pressure. And we actually get to then pay attention to the constant outpouring of love that God is pouring on us at each moment.
That's right. And how do you, you know, how do you become rich? Well, by having few wants. I mean, there are very few things we really need in life. The only thing I remember in college was my economic teacher saying, if you want to go in business and stay in business, make something people need. But if you want to go in business and make a lot of money, make something people want. And that really struck me. And it's really true. I mean, we spend loads of money on things that are unimportant. And the basics that all we really need is God. We need our family. And we need some basic staples. And God will provide everything else. I mean, again, it's learning to live and love with few wants, I think, is what's – that's the biggest dynamic in my life. I was a material guy when God wasn't in my life. And he had to take everything away from me for me to get into another position. And now I appreciate not having what I don't have. Again, I thank God for everything I do have and for all that I don't have, because it's his will that's driving us.
Yeah. You mean this?
I thank him for Sister Francesca.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I thank him for you too. As you were talking, Peter, was something that really helped me, because one of my big struggles in the beginning reading the volumes, I mean, it's still a struggle now, is, you know, you need to die to your passions. You need to die to all of these wants. You need to be purified of them and desire only what God desires. But sometimes it's easier said than done. It's like, okay, but I still want it. I still have this urge. I still have this desire. What am I supposed to do with it? And one of the things that my theology of the body studies has taught me, you know, this was one of John Paul II's main principles, is that we open everything up to the Lord, because whatever our desires are, our wants are, especially if they're disordered, it doesn't mean that they're totally disordered. There's something good that we're looking for in there. And if we keep suppressing and suppressing and suppressing, that's just going to pop out. I like to think of it, it's going to squirt out of my pores in disordered ways. But instead of suppressing it in shame, just kind of opening it up to the Lord and allowing him to purify it and show me what I'm actually looking for in those desires. And what happens is really amazing. Those desires get transformed into a desire for God. Christopher West describes it as, you know, your rocket engines start shooting up towards heaven instead of horizontally out towards things and people. And that was really great advice for me, because when I didn't know what to do with all of my wants and the things that I was attached to, especially in the beginning, that was a great help, because it's, I think, the Lord that has to detach, but not only detach, but give us means to be more passionate for him. And when our desires are transformed into love of him, that's when we really, I feel like, grow in the divine will, because that's when our will desires only what he wants.
And that's not possible without grace,
without
grace and the efficacy of grace. That's, you know, when Ken was talking about, you know, the desire and gratitude, you know, grace and gratitude go hand in hand with the efficacy. We have to we have to truly, well, he says it here. Our bus lawyer will explain it better. Volume 35, January 16, 1938. Now, if the soul responds to the call, the gift is confirmed. If she does not respond, the gifts remain suspended between heaven and earth. And so a response can be to grace, thank you, Lord, for this, or thank you, Lord, for that, or for waking up, or for breathing, or for my family. That's a response to grace. It's confirmed. Additional graces will be forthcoming. That's how we build. Again, we can't do anything without God and without his grace. But he's always giving it. We just haven't figured out a way to effectively use it. Now God's given us the blueprint. Just be humble. Be yourselves. Be grateful. Confirm the gift and receive greater gifts. It's so simple, it's difficult.
Yeah. One of my old spiritual directors said, the best way for you to do God's will is just being yourself.
That's right.
And that's all God asks of us.
Yeah, and I mentioned we're looking at this uniformity of God's will, and I think, especially, again, with people in recovery and trying to discern what it, you know, God's will is for each of us, and then, you know, what has become really blatantly clear to me is it's just love. And you mentioned that, sister. It's, you know, if we love God and we love neighbor, if we do things out of love for God, then it has to be his will. And Alphonsus Liguori was, you know, in his writing, you know, talks about how we can do all these great things, but if we're not doing them out of love for God, it's all for naught. You know, we'll meet Jesus and, you know, and he'll say, you know, you did this and you did that, but I don't even know you. And it's because we do them for pride and honors and that good feeling we get and not out of that pure love for God. And when we become attuned to that and offer these things. And that was one of the things, again, I learned early on from hanging around folks that were in this a little bit longer than I was. It's like everything we do, we offer it to God. You know, God driving my driving, you know, brushing my brushing when I'm brushing my teeth in the morning, showering my showering, working my working, whatever I'm doing, do it with me, Lord, and let it be for you. And when I remember to do that, I tend to do the things that I'm supposed to do. And when I forget mm-hmm. to do that, that's when I wander off into my own ambitions and still have some of those attachments, sister, that you alluded to that we're trying to get rid of. I'm not perfect yet. So being able to review my day and look for those opportunities that I missed to do God's will and went off the rails a little bit. It's truly a gift today. It gives me an opportunity the next day to try and stay on the beam a little bit longer.
And, you know, that's not a trivial thing, just saying, come to my will, you know, brushing my brushing, washing my washing. I mean, it seems like a very insignificant thing. But Jesus explains what happens, and this is a mystery. This is miraculous. When we call the divine will, come to my will, speak in my speaking, Jesus explains, first the Father acknowledges the request. He looks inside of himself. Then he calls into counsel the sacrosanct Trinity, gathers all grace and graces imaginable, places it in the soul for that act, and disposes he or she to perform a divine act. That's what happens when we call him with sincerity.
Do you know where that is?
That is incredible.
Do you know where that is, Peter, offhand?
I mention this so often, I don't have it.
Yeah, no
I'm
problem.
Gonna look for it before we get off the air, and I'll get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no problem. Well, I can do a search on it.
That's a beautiful one, though.
Yeah.
But I was gonna be really greedy, and I was going to, because when you were listening to when you were speaking about, you know, the gratitude, I mean, he's got three lines here, our blessed Lord, that sums everything up. Volume 35, February 26, 1938. Quote. As soon as the creature recognizes us in created things and loves, she seals in them a note of love and happiness for her creator. And as she goes up to recognize her creator, she recognizes us and we recognize mm-hmm. our divine being in her. If you knew what it means to recognize each other, end quote. We don't know what it means to recognize each other, but we will if we try. Astonishing. Wow.
Yeah, it makes me think of what the word Eucharist means, Thanksgiving. you know, when we become one with God, receiving him in the Eucharist, you know, we can't help but overflow at Thanksgiving. And I think that's the beauty of the acts and the rounds, you know, doing everything within and through Jesus and recognizing Jesus in all created things and in all of his acts. It's we're living in union with our beloved, with our bridegroom. We're living as one. And I think the deepest desire of every human heart is just to be loved and to love in return. And that's what the gift of the divine will offers us in super abundance. And I feel like that's the answer to everything.
That is. I found it, Ken. I don't mean to be greedy again, but it's volume 34, March 1st, 1936. And I paraphrased it maybe not perfectly,
yeah,
but here it is real quickly. Now, my daughter, each time the soul wants to do my will, again, we call the divine will, my celestial father first looks inside of himself. He calls the sacrosanct Trinity as though into counsel in order to fill that act of our will with all possible and imaginable goods. Then he unleashes it from himself and has the creature invested with his operating, communicating, transforming will. And just as in the incarnation of the three divine persons remained in heaven and descended into the womb of the Immaculate Virgin, in the same way my will with its power transports with itself within the operative act, end quote. That is how God takes our human act and divinizes it. It's right there. Incredible.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. And actually, it's in that passage where I mentioned earlier about love, and I actually had it highlighted from a while back where Jesus is talking about his Blessed Mother, but he says, and besides, to love is to become happy and to make us happy. One who does not love can never be happy. One who does not love has no purpose, nor any interest in doing any work, nor does he feel the heroism to do good to anyone. And it truly is to love. And you know, quick anecdote: it was probably 3 years removed from alcohol, and I happened to take my beautiful wife to a 12-step meeting with me, and the speaker was talking about love. And I had been married probably for 4 years at the time, but only sober for two. And I went and opened my mouth and said, you know, I didn't know what love was until I had put down the drink. And I'd been married for a couple of years before that, you know, took place. So I got the hairy eyeball from my wife. And, of course, we get out to the car after the meeting. What do you mean you didn't know what love was until after you stopped drinking? And it was that idea of what love is, and that conception, that human idea of what love was for me has drastically changed over the last 30 years. I mean, what, you know, I shared that, you know, some 28 years ago in that meeting and then with my wife afterwards. And today the idea of what love is so much different because of coming to understand what love means in terms of the divine will, and knowing that everything that I do in life should be out of love for God and not out of love for Ken or love for my wife, or not that I don't love myself or love my wife or my kids or anybody else, but if I'm doing it out of love for them, I'm expecting something in return usually. Whereas if I do it out of love for God, it's usually genuinely because it's the right thing to do.
Amen.
You know,
good,
so
dude.
We've got just a few minutes left. And so for those that may have tuned in late, our guests today are my good friend Peter DePalma, who's with us every month, and all the way from Italy, Sister Francesca, who is a Benedictine Sister of the Divine Will. And if you want to learn more, I highly encourage you to check out Peter's website at queenofthedivinewill.org. And Peter, I know you still have a few Cenacles available to folks here locally in the eastern Pennsylvania area, but really can get in from anywhere over Zoom. It's still on Sunday afternoons, Thursday mornings with the sisters, right?
Yeah, it's actually Wednesday evening, Thursday morning on Radio Maria, Friday evening, and Sunday afternoon. every week with Mother Gabriel and the Benedictine Daughters.
So if you get in touch with Peter through through his website, again, that's queenofthedivinewill.org. Peter sends out emails usually the day before he's going to be available with one of these opportunities. And then you'll also get an email the day of or the day after with links to the recordings of them in case you can't catch it live or want to re-listen to it. So you'll, I highly encourage you to get on Peter's list. And then, Sister, the website that the Benedictine Sisters maintain again?
It's BenedictinesOfDivineWill.org.
Very good.
And if you go to the family tree page and scroll down to Louisa, it's a one-stop shop for all things Divine Will. You can find all the volumes there, resources, our Radio Maria Mary's Hill Cenacles, the drop book, everything's there.
Very good. And I mentioned the local cenacle that it started out as a local cenacle here in southeastern Pennsylvania. It's now grown to include quite a few people. We got folks from Florida, Mississippi, Wisconsin, Iowa, California. If you send me an email at ken@inhissign.com, that's ken@inhissign.com, I can send you the information on where to locate the volumes. You can read them online. You don't have to rush out and buy them anywhere. And then the information you can use to dial into the call each morning. Again, that's 6 a.m. to 7:30. It seems like a long time, but you're not required to do anything but listen. There's some beautiful women and actually a man now that go through the rotation of the readings. And you can continue to eat your breakfast or get the kids ready for daycare or off to school or whatever it is that you do in the morning and listen as you go. So highly encourage it. Final word, Sister, before we have to let you go.
You know what? I just came across a great quote from St. Ignatius of Loyola. It says, "Most people have no idea what God would make of them if only they would place themselves at his disposal." So I invite everybody to place yourselves and your wills at God's disposal, and he will make great things out of you.
Beautiful. Peter?
I just thank you, Ken, for this opportunity. Thank Sister. And for the last sentence she said before what she just said, you got a hint as to where she's from. She says, everything's there.
Great. I still have the accent.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yanks are optional.
Yankees or Mets, Sister?
Oh, Ken, I'm a Bronx girl. It's got to be the Yankees.
Oh, man, they've been beating up on my Phillies, you know.
Really?
The last couple days,
you know what,
yeah.
Tell you, I went to game two of the, I don't remember what year, of the World Series with Phillies and Yankees.
2009.
Yeah, 2009, that's right. It was at Philly Stadium, but I wasn't treated so nicely in my Yankee cap, I have to say.
Yeah, well, you got to kind of expect that here in Philly. But I think that was the same game I was at, so hopefully I wasn't one of the ones that was hollering at you. It was before I knew about Louisa and the Divine Will. Well, gang, I can't thank you enough for being here for the full hour and sharing with us your knowledge of Louisa and the Divine Will. And I look forward to doing it again next month. Peter, thank you, pal. Thank you, Sister.
Thank you, Ken.
Love you, Sister.
For our listeners, take care and God bless. We'll see you next week.